Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today in the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Busuu. Start learning a new language today with Busuu. Start learning with Busuu by visiting Busuu.com. That's Busuu.com. Or search Busuu on the iOS App Store or Google Play. To upgrade your learning with 30% off Busuu Premium, use code GHOST. Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, what haunts a young family when they move into a new condo late at night? And what does whatever is in the condo want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show and you want to keep us on the air, well, please be a supporter. That's what we call an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, as well as all of our archived material, advanced episodes of the show, and so much more. Keeps us on the air and allows the show to stay afloat. We greatly appreciate that. Again, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
Freaking lovely. How are you?
Freaking lovely.
Yeah.
It's been one of those days.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it's been, I'm going to be honest, and we'll get to ghost stories here very quick. We won't be on this for long. I am honestly surprised it has taken nearly 10 months for one of us to get something.
Yeah.
Not COVID, but something.
Something to where we had to go to the doctor and get tested.
Yeah. That was actually, I'm kind of impressed because having two kids, I mean, although they've been isolated, so that's where I think a lot of germs come from.
More hermits.
And,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, this morning we had a bit of a scare with Livy, but she's fine. She does not have COVID, but it's a stomach bug and ear infections. I mean, not fine, but it's not COVID.
Yeah. It was just weird because it's like stomach stuff and head stuff. And I was like, oh, this is like every symptom they have listed on Google. And yeah. It's like, I'm freaking out. Take her in. They test her. She's okay.
Yeah.
So that's how my day started. And now it's like, okay, let's talk about ghosts.
Yeah. It's, it was our first scare.
Yeah,
it was. And it's just, yeah, it's the world that we're in right now as this airs, and that was ours, and it was just, it makes you go, okay, yeah, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Try and stay sane. So I know you guys are coming here for the show to listen as an escape, to try and stay sane. And that's,
a lot of you have already gone through this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we are here to give you ghost stories and to be that escape. But I know a lot of you, you know, you listen and we give you our lives and you guys are a part of our lives. So we wanted to share that little bit of our day with you today.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into ghost stories here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories Let's go to our first one. It says, we lived on the 16th floor, suite 1612. The building was shaped so that the bedrooms kind of jutted out past the living room area, which meant that when you looked out the window, you could see into the other rooms easily. You could see into the windows of the apartments of the same unit several floors up and down. I cannot remember exactly when it began, but at some point, our neighbors upstairs in 1712 began to drive us crazy. The clock would strike midnight and the shenanigans would begin. I'm not a skeptic, but anytime I experience something strange, I tend to brush it off as something that must have a perfectly reasonable explanation. That white figure I saw come up the stairs from the corner of my eye to whom I started speaking, thinking it was my mom, must have been a trick of the light. Footsteps and clanging upstairs in our townhouse, even though my husband and I are both downstairs, might just be the neighbor's cat. A long, loud woman's scream changing in pitch and volume. That several of us here at a secluded cottage. It had to have been an animal of some sort. But there is one story from my childhood that I've never been able to explain away. To this day, I am not quite sure of what to make of it. I was 7 to about 11 years old, somewhere in there. My parents and younger brother and I lived in a condo apartment in a suburb of Toronto, Canada. It was slick and fancy, a relatively newer build at the time, and the last place you would expect to experience anything paranormal. We lived on the 16th floor, suite 1612. The building was shaped so that the bedrooms kind of jutted out past the living room area, which meant when you looked out the window, you could see into the other rooms easily. You could also see into the windows of the apartments of the same unit several floors up and down. I cannot exactly remember when it began, but at some point, our neighbors upstairs in 1712 began to drive us crazy. It seemed like there were kids upstairs full-on sprinting the lengths of the apartment in the middle of the night. We'd hear furniture screeching as it was pushed across the floor, which sounded like marbles falling and scattering. This happened every single night. We could not understand why our neighbors were so inconsiderate as to move around all their furniture in the middle of the night every single night. Why can't they settle on a position for their stupid table or whatever it was? We did not understand why their children were up and running around all odd hours. Didn't they have school in the morning? And what is it with the marbles constantly spilling across the floor? Find a better jar to hold them, people. My little brother and I would often grab brooms and hit them on the ceiling for revenge to no avail. The loud noises continued each night for years. The strangest part of all this, however, was that when we would look up from our window into the upstairs apartment, we'd only see pitch black. It seemed our neighbors were moving furniture in the dark. My brother and I laughing at how weird that was, never noticing the uneasy glances my parents exchanged. When you're a kid and something inexplicable is happening, you do not want to believe it is supernatural. The thought did not even cross my brother's or my minds at the time. I mean, the sounds we heard, the running, the furniture being dragged, were so clear, so easily tracked across our ceiling, so concrete that it could not possibly be something so immaterial as a ghost. We just thought we had weird neighbors. As adults, though, we were warier. My aunt and her family stayed with us for a few months when they first immigrated to Canada, and my aunt would stay up late playing as the marbles crashed on the floor above her. The sounds usually came at night, but one day my mother was home alone performing her afternoon prayers when the running and furniture screeching began again. She says she felt an inexplicable fear and uneasiness and ran out of the apartment still wearing her prayer garments. She marched up to the security desk and complained about the loud noises coming from the upstairs. This was normal, as we had also received phone calls from security in the past when our neighbors had complained about my brother and me running around and making too much noise in our own apartment. But when my mother complained about suite 1712, the security guard was perplexed. "When did you hear those noises?" he asked my mom. "Just now," she replied. "We hear them every night. We can hardly sleep in peace." A security guard then informed my mother that she had secretly feared this the whole time. No one lived in suite 1712. My mother refused to accept that explanation. At her insistence, the guard took my mother upstairs to check out the apartment that my mom saw, and it chilled her to the bone. The apartment was completely empty. No furniture, no people, no marbles. It was also fully carpeted, so the screeching of the furniture we heard across the living room hardwood floor made no sense. My mother was so frightened, she escaped to spend the afternoon with a neighbor rather than return home alone. When she told my dad what happened, she never mentioned it to us until we had moved out. When I heard, I could not believe it. The rational part of my brain could not comprehend how something I remember so vividly could not be explained by the actions of humans. But when I remember how dark it used to be upstairs, coupled with the noticeably clear noises, I knew in my heart something unusual was at work. I'm a Muslim and I've grown up believing that we are surrounded by jinn, who live in a parallel society that sometimes overlaps with ours. Part of me believes that perhaps those of the inhabitants of 1712. But the other part of me just wants to bury my head in the sand and pretend that it all never actually happened.
I think that's the worst. As long as you're assuming there's just neighbors that are, you know, kind of assholes upstairs, I could live with that more than knowing that there's nobody upstairs. And yeah. And going and finding that out and seeing for myself, that I think is the worst part.
Yeah, I would agree. Having been in that situation before, not this one, but having loud neighbors mm-hmm. that were of the living kind. Mm-hmm. They annoyed the shit out of me, but had it been, I go and complain, and then they said, there's no one up there, and I see there's no one up there. I don't think I could continue living there. No. I could continue living in the place and not break the lease and just deal with the noisy neighbors, mm-hmm. which I did. But had I found out there's something playing with marbles upstairs, or not really playing with marbles, but I'm hearing these sounds, I don't think I could stay.
No.
Even though it's not happening in my apartment, I couldn't sleep. I don't think I'd be able to go on. Mm-mm. It's like, that's like the one time where noisy neighbors are a good thing. When that turns out to be the explanation. Mm-hmm. That's a freaky story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I just kind of, it was a good story. It was very well written. It was just the one line I knew where we were going with it. You just knew it's like, and then she found out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was almost ready to like, everybody at once.
Nobody lives upstairs.
Exactly. It was kind of what I was feeling like.
But. And not to say that it was a predictable story. No. It was just, that was the best twist it could have, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for the ghost story being that, I mean, I was wondering, because sometimes I'll be surprised still. Sometimes I'll be like, and it turned out it was just a cat that liked marbles and yeah. was really strong. You know, it's like, it's Felix the cat, you know, but it was not. Remember Felix the cat?
Yeah, I do.
That was a good one. I won't go on a Felix the cat tangent because everybody's like, oh, he's going to go on a Felix the cat tangent. I won't.
Okay.
It's a good second to Garfield, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, Felix, no, I'm kidding. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today. It's the amazing app puzzle game that I love, Best Fiends. This is an impossible to put down puzzle game, and it's free to download. And it's not like some fringe one that like maybe some people like it. No, over 100 million downloads on this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game. It is a must play. I love this thing, especially right now. You may be kind of sitting there doing stuff and you're thinking, okay, now what do I do after I got this done at home? Because so many things that in the past we may have gone out for escapes. Those aren't really options right now. So you're sitting there going to yourself, okay, now what? Best Fiends is what? It's that impossible to put down puzzle game. More levels, events, challenges, they get added all the time. So play away. There's always one more level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom, it ain't going to stand a single chance. I play with friends. It's fun. You kind of challenge each other back and forth. See where you guys are at. We all love a good challenge, and Best Fiends gives you over 5,000 of them. More levels, events, and challenges added all the time, which means you don't have to choose between binging and boredom. In fact, you might find yourself wondering how you ever found the time for a dull moment before. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. This is Joseph Scott from Arizona. It's been a while since I talked to you. Quick update. I've moved jobs. I got out of the cursed job at where I was, out of that place where that multiple shooting happened, and out of that area. Got a new job in a different location. A lot better, a lot peaceful. and no ghosts so far, you know, knocking on wood. But I wanted to, you know, being it's almost Halloween, you know, of course I'm also the one that called in about my haunted town of Seligman, Arizona, of, you know, my, you know, school being haunted and everything, and the old gym and the new, you know, the school itself. And this Halloween season, I remember, you know, we always held a Halloween carnival in the old gym. I think, you know, everyone in the whole town knows it was haunted, but, you know, getting an extra spook here and there on Halloween is always an added plus, so we always have that at the old gym. And I remember, you know, when I was still in school, a junior, senior, and we ended up having a couple of booths. We had a, kind of Wheel of Fortune type deal where, you know, you spin the wheel around and add a number, you know, it lands on a number, you get whatever prize. And we also had, this year, our new one we had was a sort of Halloweenish, you know, spooky jail where, you know, people go out and their kids will, you know, sign a warrant, you know, and, you know, put anyone they want for jail for like 5 minutes, you know, for $20 or whatever. And when we decorated, you know, one of my friends ended up getting these mannequin doll arms or whatever. And my dad had a logging chain, a small little logging chain, but it was pretty, you know, pretty little heavy. And, you know, and welding, we ended up, you know, made little, like, brackets for your, like, shackles for your arms and stuff. And we decorated nice and good where it looked like somebody had been, you know, in prison for a long time and felt in, or, you know, some looked like they'd been in prison for a long time. And when we set it up, there was a door right behind, you know, the prop or behind it, and no one knew what was there except for us. And we added that little room to, you know, get a little extra, you know, spook out of it. You know, rattle some chains or you know, play around. Might have a little bit of room. Well, no one knew about it, and we only had the one key. It was also used in storage a little bit, and we got the key from it. There's only one key. So as we were, you know, playing around through the carnival and everything, ended up being my shift. My friend Shelby ended up tapping me, telling me it's my shift. And as I was going, I see the wheel spinning. Well, somebody's over there, you know, spinning the wheel, and ended up being no one was by the wheel. The wheel spun itself, and it landed on, you know, I forgot what number, but it wasn't like 13 or nothing. I wish that would be cool too, but it was kind of funny, and sometimes it would move a little bit. You know, you had to really almost get a oomph to, you know, to roll it, and sometimes it'll spin by itself, you know, a couple of numbers here or there. And as we were going to the jail, and, you know, we ended up getting positioned and everything, and I had to go somewhere, and I had the only key, and as I came back, I hear the chains rattling, and I'm like, okay, who's rattling the chains? You know, there's no one back there, because I only got the only key, and I hear a couple times, and investigate it, and there's way you have to get the back. One of my classmates bought this big old huge cord, you know, pumpkin that, you know, weighed about a good, 20, 30 pounds. It was heavy. And you had to move that because we positioned it where you had to move it in order to get behind. Someone had to remove it, through the back. And it was not touched or nothing. And, we always loved that old gym where, stuff like where we get, some activity and we used to have the stuffed heads where, the eyes move at you, and then you hear the basketball dribbling and stuff. Good note, too, is I listened to Hopper's podcast, and Tony, man, I think I'd watch your job if I were you, because I think you got some competition, and I think someone's going to take over your job pretty soon. She's really good. Love her podcast, too, and I just downloading your new one about Wikipedia, and hope to hear from you soon, and take care, have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for your story and the kind words about Harper on the show. It brings me great joy to see her thriving at this and loving this, and it's not like, hey, let's do what Dad wants to do and play along.
No, most of the time she wants to record before I get to record, and it's like a fight. It's like, Mommy does this, with Daddy as a job, and she's like, well, I do too. So, she's wanting to, it's sincere. It's not just feeling like, she doesn't feel like she has to come out here and do this. She does this because she wants to do this. She lives to do this. And so, she's going to take my job at some point, I'm sure.
Her only limitations are her age and what she's able to do. And that just keeps changing as she gets older. Like cautionary tales with Harper, she's like, I really need to be hosting more of the show and be the one telling you these things, not you telling me these things. She's doing her own research now on that. And we're going to start trying to shift where she's sharing more of the facts versus me.
It's just that damn second grade reading level that's holding her back.
It literally really is.
And we're working on that.
And the thing is, I felt the same damn frustration that she did the whole time when I was her age, too, because I was like, I want to be on the air. I want to be in radio. So I would set it up my boombox and play and do everything and be like, the only thing that's holding me back is the fact that I'm in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to hire a second grader to work at the radio station. But they eventually hired a seventh grader to work at the radio station. But that's how I always felt too. It's like I felt like I was so much older and stuck in this tiny body.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, rush her childhood or anything, but I just want to help her do what she loves. And I know that she loves this. So it brings me great joy that she loves this, but it also brings me a lot of happiness knowing that I think this show will exist far beyond us and far beyond me. And I think there'll be another generation or two of people that will have this as an outlet to share their ghost stories. And I think you're going to have a voice there and a mind and thought processes that are just as sympathetic, if not even more than us, to all of these things. All those years down, not like we're old and retiring anytime soon, but when we are old and can't physically do this anymore, it's like she's got it. So it makes me happy knowing that what's been built will continue to go on. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And by that time, they'll have technology where they can she can type in responses and we'll still be co-hosting with her. We'll be dead, but she'll have like a computer that she'll make us say horrible shit.
We celebrated Libby's birthday yesterday. She turned 14.
Yeah.
And it used to be a tradition when my grandparents, my grandmother's still alive, but my grandfather died, I think about 5 years ago. And they used to always call and sing happy birthday and leave it on a voicemail. That was, you know, from the time answering machines were around, that's what they would do. And it didn't feel like your birthday till you got that call.
Mm-hmm.
And I so wish that I had that saved. And I think about all the endless hours of shit that our grandchildren will have long after we're gone to listen to. And they'll be like, Grandma said what?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I can't believe Grandpa sang that, you know? I'm glad they're going to have that, because I would give anything to have endless hours of my grandparents discussing random shit and ghosts.
And it's interesting because, you know, as much as I knew my grandparents at a grandparent level, and as much as I didn't know them, there's a pair that I never met.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so interesting to have 5 minutes of them talking.
Yeah.
On tape, just to hear it, just to hear the sound of their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just to know what that even was, because I have no idea what my grandparents' voices even sounded like. And it would just be very cool to have that to relate, to kind of get that connection. And that's what I think is so neat about this. They got far more than they have more than they'll ever fucking listen to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's just I like that. And I think that's a neat thing. And I hope that they are able to have the same mindset that we do and appreciate that and not be like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that'll be our luck. Yeah. The little shits won't even give a care, you know? It's like, all right, fine. Like,
I'm glad we did this, you little assholes. No, I'm not calling you an asshole if you're listening to it and enjoying it. If you're like, oh, then you are an asshole.
Then they're not even to this episode, so it doesn't matter.
Let's go to our next caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Sandy, and I live in Iowa. And I have quite a few ghost stories from over the years. The latest was, actually it's second to the latest, but it was one of the more dramatic ones. We are actually foster parents, so I've listened to you guys' show for at least 3 years. But the latest one had to do with one of our foster kids. We had gotten her when she was about 15, and she left right before she was 18. But I had talked to her at one point about that I kept having a dream of a little girl that was downstairs basically just walking around in our hallway. And I had this dream at least 5 or 6 times before this girl came to our home. And we were out in the kitchen one time, and I didn't realize the girl saw spirits. And I started talking about this dream of this little girl about 10, 12 years old, and with really long blonde hair, really full, really flowing, really all the way down to her butt. And I started talking about it, and our foster child said, yeah, she's a spirit that lives down in your basement. I was like, oh, shit. And I actually had one of my older sons was visiting our house at the time. And so before I said anything else to the foster daughter, I pulled my son, who was like 29, 30 years old, out in the garage, and I described this little girl that I kept seeing 5 or 6 times in the house. I pulled him out so the foster girl wasn't in earshot, couldn't hear what I was describing. Took my son out in the garage, and I'm like, I described what I kept seeing in my dream. And it was a girl about 10 years old, the long blonde hair, and I described her dress. It was like just past the knee, a couple layers of ruffles at the bottom, white, very, like, not really, really old, like from the 80s is what I described. And very vivid, you know, what she looked like, what she was wearing, all that. We come back in, and I had my foster daughter describe what she said this girl looked like that lived in our house, what the ghost girl looked like that lived in our house. And she described the exact same thing, same dress, same color of the dress, same ruffles on the dress, everything. Everything was the exact same thing. And she said the little girl would come up and usually hung up downstairs, but she'd come up and sit at the table while we were eating, that type of thing. She'd sit and play at the stairs and turn the spindles on our stairs at times, which the spindles are metal and they'd twist and you could, they'd change directions and stuff at times. Not that we'd see, but I'd come and hear the spindles would be turned. But we have a lot of kids, so the other kids could be doing that. It was just weird that she described this girl exactly the same that I described her. And I was outside with my son, and she was in here, so she couldn't have heard it. Anyway, that's my one story. And like I said, I have multiple stories because it's just weird that I see or things happen. So I will call back with the other stories. All right. Thank you. Bye.
I think it's so interesting that she saw the foster mom saw the girl in a dream, but yet the foster daughter saw the girl, like actually visibly saw her,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's an interesting thing to me on how they choose to present, you know, because she could have probably presented herself in physical form to the foster mom, but she chose to do it in a dream multiple times.
What, do you think there's control over how a ghost presents itself to someone like I'm going to choose to do this dream, or it's like, that's my only option. This is the only way I know how to do this.
Well, I don't know. You know, now that you say it that way, maybe it's like, okay, well, foster mom only has telephone, but foster daughter has a computer. So I will send foster daughter an email version of myself, and I'll just call foster mom. You know, maybe it's how they're able to receive the spirit.
Yeah.
Is you know, maybe the way that they present themselves. So maybe she's only able to see her in dreams, whereas the foster daughter can see her in real life.
That's an interesting way of putting it. It's almost like how you would communicate with, like when you look at communicating with your family members, you look at, okay, there's, when you talk to your grandma,
mm-hmm.
It's a phone call.
It's a landline.
It's a landline phone call.
It is.
You're not texting her.
No.
You're not sending an email. You're not FaceTiming, because the only way you're going to get a hold of her for communication that will work
mm-hmm.
is going to be a landline phone call.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to your mom, there's more options.
Yeah.
When you talk to me, there's even more options.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting way of looking at it, of the, because I think we look at it from the way the spirit may be communicating on the perspective of, well, what can they do? Or is it more so they're looking at us from the perspective of what can the living do? What can the living perceive?
And I think maybe it's more of that.
Than the other.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of an aha moment.
I don't know about that, but.
So it's a way of thinking of it I have not thought of before. So.
Okay.
That's a good one. I really, yeah, I like that. Sometimes these perspectives, which seem to be fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get overlooked, and that's what it's almost been kind of a theme this year on the show when we've been talking about things, and I'm looking back on stories and cases and all that, and I'm going, simplify it down. What?
You can always count on me to bring the simple.
No, and I'm not saying that. I'm like, I need to simplify things down. And when I talk to, when I have interviews on the Grave Talks, mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, they'll have all these, and we think it might be this or that. I'm like, let's just take a step back once and take a look at it from this perspective. Could it just be as simple as this? And we as humans are always trying to find far more meaning or explanation or reason and complicate things than they really need to be or than they really are. And I think sometimes with the ghost stuff, it's just that. It's look at what this is and look at these more as people and how you would communicate with people versus there's something magical going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to make more sense quite often than the other direction.
Yeah.
So that was a good observation. Let's do one more call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny or Carol, Benny from New York City, giving you a call again. Just want to follow up on the brief portion of the EPP episode you did entitled Ghosts at 3 a.m. The gentleman was talking about how he and his wife kept hearing running in the attic up above them every night or several nights at 3 a.m. So the question was raised, what is it about 3 a.m.? And the little thing that I can offer is that why 3 a.m. is so synonymous with paranormal investigations and paranormal activity is the belief is, and I'm not saying that this is, of course, the truth, but the idea is, so Jesus supposedly was crucified. So the inverse and the mocking of that is 3 a.m., which would make it evil. I don't personally like that theory because as a paranormal investigator myself, I strive to stress to people that what we do and that this topic is not evil, even though some people will claim to have demonic possessions or activity in their home. A lot of times they're just saying that because they heard other people on TV say that, so they jump right to the most gory and drastic option. But nonetheless, so you, like I said, 3 p.m., inverse of that, 3 a.m. Also, it's a mocking of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity. So that's why there is this notion of the number three or this repetition of three in paranormal claims. So that's my little bit. I'll talk to you guys later. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
I'm glad he was able to call in and kind of give us his insight on to that. Is that the more you know? Don't make fun of Vinny.
I'm not.
I adore Vinny.
I think Vinny will laugh at that. Vinny texts me, and so I think Vinny will laugh when he hears that.
Okay. No, I think that's good. I think that's good, you know, to think of it that way. And, you know, I don't know what I was going to say. It's gone. That happens a lot now.
No, I love Vinny. Vinny's a great guy. I thank him for calling in and sharing that bit of insight and an explanation, because I think there's a lot of people who are listening to the show who did not know that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we kind of gloss over some things that we think we all know. So very good job explaining that to everybody, Vinny. Really do appreciate that. I'm just imagining it'd be really funny if like Ross from Friends delivered that message. It's like, do you ever wonder why, you know, demons come out at 3 a.m.? Well, it's because it's the inverse example of Jesus being crucified on the cross. So it's 3 a.m. and that's why that happens. And then you have the little The More You Know jingle, which I just lost. It would have been better if I had it there. You know, then, so there you go, you know. It'd be great. All the you should have a version where every cast member of Friends does an explanation on 3 a.m. And you only got like 10 seconds to do it because that's how short those little things were.
Could you imagine how expensive that would be to have them all do that?
You know what you could totally do, though? Here's how you could pull this off. Here's how in the next 24 hours, if I so wanted to waste about $100, I could do this. Uh-huh. Not with the Friends cast members, but I could find somebody else
on NBC. Cameo.
Cameo. I could probably get like other people who'd been on NBC series do that, and then I connect it to it, The More You Know.
Well, I know that Kevin from The Office is on Cameo right now. So there you go.
Yeah.
Because that was NBC.
Yeah. I think that would be fucking hilarious.
Especially in the character of Kevin, who seems to, you know, on The Office, he didn't know anything. So
be right up there with Chris Hansen wishing me a happy birthday.
That was the best I could do for your birthday.
That was one of the best birthday presents I've ever had.
Okay.
That was great. And if you want to watch it, it's on my Instagram feed at Tony Bruschi. You got to go back to about August 5th and see.
To it. About August 5th.
Yeah.
That is your birthday.
Yeah, that is my birthday. Yes, I forget sometimes, but that's where it's at. And it's if you want to see Chris Hansen wishing me a happy birthday, the real Chris Hansen. Yes, in fact, have a seat, Chris Hansen. It's good times.
I looked for Michael McDonald, but he's not on there.
I imagine he might be more pricey than Chris Hansen.
I would have done it, but you know. He wasn't on there.
Michael McDonald just singing a little song or something, you know.
Like, happy birthday to you is in the version of, like, I keep forgetting.
Happy birthday to Tony Bruschi. That'd be great.
Oh, you wanted to be Michael McDonald one year for Halloween when we had a neighborhood to trick-or-treat in, and you were going to go around singing, I'm trick-or-treating.
I'm trick-or-treating. Give me some candy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that still could be a possibility.
Nobody would know who you were. They would think you were Kenny Rogers.
It would. I was thinking post-COVID someday when the kids are 40. I can go trick-or-treating as Michael McDonald today. As Michael McDonald at this age right now, because that time he'll be long gone. Like, who was Michael McDonald? He was the singer.
Uh-huh. I think I've got the girls talked into next year. I have to start early because this is what, November 10th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to start early on getting them on board. But I think I've got them talked into being the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus.
How did you do that?
Threats.
Oh, that works, Darlene. Do you think you have it?
I think so. I think Livy will do it. Harp's all about it.
Yeah.
You know, because she's the redhead. We can make her be, you know, Winnie. I'll be the crazy, you know, brunette. And then, of course, Livy doesn't. She's like, I don't want to be the blonde. Like, you are the blonde.
She doesn't want to be Sarah Jessica Parker's character?
No.
It's why?
Like, you would be the pretty witch. You've got the long blonde hair. Just do it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Well, maybe someday. Who knows? That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus content, advanced episodes every week, new EPP bonus episodes, ebook, audiobook. It's all there, and that's what keeps our show on the air. Please help us out and do that. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.